everyone, and welcome back to Yellow Bee Pod. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Natalie. I'm the host here, and what do I normally say at the beginning? I'm British born Chinese, and today we're talking about everyone's favorite Chinese hero. Okay, maybe not your favorite, but my favorite Chinese hero, Mulan. And the reason that we're talking about Mulan this week is because the live action Disney movie is coming out. So it's coming out on Friday the 4th of September 2020. I'm really, really looking forward to watching it. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about my relationship with the original Disney movie, which came out in the 90s. So I really grew up watching Mulan, as well as the animated movie. We're also going to be talking about the live action movie, which some of you may have decided not to watch for a few reasons, which we'll be talking about later. Whether you are excited for it like I am, or you've decided not to watch it for whichever reason, I respect your decision and fully support you with that. But it's still worth listening to this episode because I'm really, really excited for this one. I did mention in my last podcast episode that I would be featuring a guest that I was very excited about, but I have decided to push that episode a couple of weeks back because Disney just dropped the release date for Mulan out of nowhere. For those of you who have been following the Mulan live action, it was supposed to be out at the end of March and it has been pushed back, and they just announced last month that it's going to be out this week in September. So shuffled around some of the podcast episodes, but I'm sure you will forgive me. Before we get into talking more about Mulan, I just want to remind you all to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. So wherever you're listening to this, hit the subscribe or follow button. And you can also find us on social media at Yellow Bee Pod on Twitter and Instagram. I also love receiving emails from listeners as well. So you can email me at yellowbeepod@gmail.com. I love hearing from you. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, you can leave a review. Should I share a review that I received over the last week or so? I'll save it for another day as I don't have it up now. But yeah, I really appreciate everyone who's left a 5-star rating and review. It takes 30 seconds and it means the world to me. It also helps other people to find the podcast. And you know what? I don't really know why, but I was kind of putting off sitting down to record this podcast, even though it's like, I love talking about Mulan and I've been doing it in my free time anyway, but I think sometimes when a podcast is a solo episode, so just me and no guests, sometimes I feel a bit like, does anyone really need to hear this? But I do like recording these episodes and sharing them, and thank you to everyone who tuned in on the previous episode, episode 16, which was also a solo episode, and I was talking about a range of different things, like some of the COVID-19 events this year, increased racism, which I don't want to talk about today, and also things that I've learned from this year, so my 10 steps, what was it? My 10 steps of being kind to yourself in lockdown. If you've missed any of the previous Yellow Bee Pod episodes, they are there. Go and download them so you can listen to them after this one. And I really, really appreciate everyone who has come back for episode 17. Every episode, I swear, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe we've reached this number, but I really can't believe it. And I really, really appreciate everyone who has pressed play on this episode. Okay, let's start talking about Mulan properly. Right, where do I start? I actually planned, I did a bit of a brain dump all about Mulan into a giant Google document. When was that? It was months ago. It might have even been before I even released episode 1 of this podcast. As I mentioned, the Mulan live action was supposed to be released back in March, and revisiting that document now and all of the Mulan memories that I brain dumped into this document. Having said that, maybe I should have planned this a bit more, but let's start from the beginning. Mulan, I first heard of it through the Disney movie, the animated movie. If you haven't seen it, you should check it out. It's a bloody classic. It's from 1998, which I can't believe, and it tells the story. It's not a real story, but it's based off a Chinese legend, a ballad. So there's actually, I didn't know this growing up, but there's a Chinese character, a legend, who is described in the Ballad of Mulan, and the story is of Hua Mulan, who is a woman who disguises herself as a man in order to take her father's place in the military. So her father is called to the military, but she doesn't want her father to go because he's old and frail and will probably die, I guess. So Mulan dresses up as a man and takes her father's place. I also recently connected with comedian Bernice Ye. She's born and raised in China and is now based in Seattle in the US. She's shared this hilarious, the specific story of her growing up with Mulan. She said, her chest was singing and painful. There were puffed up lumps on both sides of my chest. I started to freak out and went to my mum crying. My mum lifted my PJ shirt, examined carefully and laughed out loud. You've got boobs. Yup. So she was going through puberty. She didn't have sex education, so she didn't know that she was going to grow boobs, and she was only 8 years old. So she carries on and says, no one else around me had any signs of an uneven chest, and it was right in the middle of our hot summer. I was so ashamed of my boobs, I started to hunch over so no one would notice them. I sneaked into the library so I could find out how Mulan, a legendary Chinese female warrior who joined the army by disguising as a man, hid her boobs. I learned that you could wrap cloth tightly around your chest to stop the boobs from growing altogether. This was my first exposure to a strong female superhero. No, not your Disney Marvel Hollywood fictionalized characters, but the real Wonder Woman, Mulan. You want to know why I think she's a superhero? Mulan's trick to hide her boobs worked. It worked so well that my boobs said goodbye to me when I was 8 and never came back. But I didn't care much at the time. Mulan was my hero and she didn't need to have big boobs. Mulan was braver, smarter, and more badass than the boys, and so I would be too. Looking back, I felt so lucky to get to know her stories early on. I hope I gave that story justice. I think it's so funny because, yes, in the Disney movie and maybe in the original ballad, Mulan wraps fabric around her chest to conceal her boobs so she will look more like a man. And who knew that a Chinese teenager or Chinese child would be following that example? So there's a ballad, is that like a poem? And then Disney took the story and turned it into an animated movie in 98, which I really grew up with. I can't remember the first time that I watched this movie. If you grew up watching it too, can you remember the first time that you watched it? I used to watch Mulan on VCD. Did you ever have VCDs? I think that was the only thing I had on VCD. It was basically a DVD, but I think it didn't have quite as much memory on it because the Mulan movie was spread across two discs. So there's one scene where Mulan goes to see the emperor and there's a big crowd, and that was always the point where we had to stop the movie and change disc to a different VCD. And the movie is not that long, it's like less than an hour and a half, I think, just under. But yeah, I grew up watching it on VCD and I just remember so distinctly. I mean, I could probably quote the entire movie. I was really trying to investigate why I like this movie so much. And okay, obviously she's a Chinese princess. Is she a princess? No, she's not actually a princess, because in the movie, in the story, she isn't a royal and she doesn't end up marrying a royal, which is normally what happens with other Disney princesses. But when Disney do their merch and stuff, they normally include Mulan in the Disney princess lineup along with all the others. You know how Disney make so many different types of merch, like pencil cases and sticker sets? Sometimes they include Mulan. Only sometimes though, and when they do, I like it a whole lot more. I never really grew up watching the other Disney princess movies. Apparently Mulan was the 36th animated Disney film, but I think it's the first one I watched. I never really watched the other princessy movies, only some that I've seen more recently as an adult. And I definitely didn't grow up with Disney all around me. So aside from Mulan, the only other Disney movie that I can remember watching as a kid was Tarzan. Oh my god, that is a great movie, but isn't one that I've rewatched as much as an adult. I also had a copy of that on DVD or VCD so I could watch it on repeat at home. And you know what, the other week I was thinking I should watch it again. So I watched Tarzan again on Disney Plus, and honestly, I thought I could remember the whole movie, but there was way more to it than I remembered. Well, that isn't the case with Mulan because I've watched it so many times. I've really grown up watching Mulan, but not other Disney movies. But as an adult, I've also watched some of the classics like Beauty and the Beast or Little Mermaid, Lion King is a classic, and Aladdin is a classic. And actually, a lot of these have been made into live actions. I think Little Mermaid is going to be made into a live action movie. And I saw that they've casted it, so maybe that'll come out soon. And earlier this year, I got a Disney Plus membership to watch Hamilton musical, which is on it now. And I have no interest in watching all the other Disney princess movies. I don't know whether they're good movies if you only watch them as adults and don't have that nostalgia value. Like, if I watched Mulan for the first time now as an adult, would I even like it? Oh, also, when I had the Disney free trial, I checked out Mulan 2, the sequel, which I had never seen, surprisingly, because I was such a big fan of the original animated movie. But did you know there's a sequel? There's a Disney sequel for everything. But you know what? The movie isn't as bad as I thought it would be. It was actually pretty good and it had good songs and a nice storyline, you know, classic Disney shit. And something that I always knew about the animated Mulan movie from the 90s was that it's a story about a Chinese legend, but it wasn't actually a popular movie in China. And I dug up, I feel like I made this fact up because I've always known it, but I don't know where I got it from. But I dug up a... This is from 1999. It's on BBC News. It's an article from this webpage, which looks like, it just looks like a Word document that's been put online. It doesn't look like a website at all. And it says that Mulan gets a cool reception in her homeland. Cool as in a negative way. Chinese unimpressed with Disney's Mulan. It says that the cartoon closed in the Hunan province after taking just $30,000 at the box office in 3 weeks. That sounds pretty low for a, you know, a big budget Disney movie in one country, but I don't know what they were expecting. And obviously I know all the lyrics to all the songs in Mulan. I think the songs are probably the best bit. I remember when I was a teenager, one of my friends got me a like CD Mulan original soundtrack, an actual CD for a Secret Santa one Christmas when I was at school. So it has all like the main songs that are in the movies, but then also the background music, and then like the Christina Aguilera version of it. Yeah, Christina Aguilera, she sang the theme song. So she sang a version of Reflection, which is the song that Mulan iconically sings. Oh my god, I'm getting gassed up just thinking about this, but she sings it when she's like really sad and it's like a pivotal moment for her because she's like, who am I? She's looking in her reflection like, who am I? And I'm not gonna sing it for you. And when I spoke to my mum about Mulan and why we watched it so much, she mentioned that I actually saw a stage version of Mulan in London. I really, really can't remember any of this, and I think I must have been like 6 years old at the time. But if they made a theatre version or a, you know, a West End musical version of Mulan, like they have done with other Disney things like Lion King and Aladdin and Frozen, like, I would so watch that. I would absolutely love that. And it's a shame because my mum says I went to see some sort of stage version of Disney that had Mulan in it. I don't know. It's a shame because I literally have no memory of it. And I also couldn't find anything on Google, although this was kind of before the time that events were on the internet. And I don't know what year it was in, but if anyone can remember this happening, so some sort of theatre play or something that had Disney Mulan in it in London, I would love to know. If you know what I'm talking about because you're older than me, or you also went or you heard about it or whatever, I would love to know. Was it a full-on theatre production? Because if it was, oh my god, they should bring that back. I would love to see a musical version of Mulan with all the original songs. Like, I went to go see Aladdin on West End a couple of years back and it was just so colourful and full on, and I was in like the second row. I felt like I was in it, like I could like see the genie really big up close in front of me. But I would love that with Mulan. So let me know. Maybe it wasn't a full theatre production, maybe it was something small to promote the movie. I don't know. In terms of Mulan on stage, I actually went to a sing-along showing of Mulan. Where was it? It was in Clapham a couple of years back. So I was an adult. I went to this sing-along. We were drinking. We were yelling. It was so good. And they also had people in costumes and like they had challenges where you had to dress up and go on stage. Yeah, they paused the movie at the point where Mulan has cut her hair to look like a boy. She has run away from home and she's in her army camp and she's doing all the training. And I think they cut the movie there and then like had people come up on stage to do like fake fitness challenges. I can't remember what the prize was. It was probably a big drink or something, but like it was just so fun to be in a room with all these people who love Mulan. And they also told us, this is so funny, they also told us to yell, fuck the patriarchy! So they told us to yell that when someone in the movie says something sexist. So there's a part in the movie, well there's a few parts where they say really sexist stuff, as in it's part of the storyline. But there's one particular part where the emperor's helper, his aide, he says a sexist line to Mulan. It's the part where they're recruiting and calling up people to report for army duty. Mulan's dad goes to report for duty, and Mulan runs up to her dad and says, no, you can't serve in the military or whatever, you're too old. And then the emperor's aide, he's like the emperor of China's trusted advisor, he says, silence! You would do well to teach your daughter to hold her tongue in a man's presence. Well, I could probably really quote the whole movie, but it's such a horrible line for him to say. And then everyone in the theater was like, fuck the patriarchy! It was so funny, and it might have been the best moment of the whole night. Even though that's kind of a sad moment in the movie, because Mulan's dad is really disappointed with her and says, oh, she has dishonored him. It's deep. It kind of hurts just to think about it. But yeah, anyways, that was really fun. And back to the sing-along. I probably have some videos somewhere, so I'm going to share them on my Instagram story after this episode's release. So keep an eye out on that at Yellow Bee Pod. And there was a girl when they were doing this workout martial arts challenge on stage. This girl must have really, really wanted to win because she was doing all the moves. She was just wearing a dress, but they were doing these moves where they had to like have their hands on the ground and like swing their legs up. And she clearly really wanted to win because she was flashing the whole crowd and didn't care at all. Everyone could see her underwear, but she was really into it. She didn't care. I just love that energy. I don't have a video of that moment exactly, in case you were wondering, but that was just really fun to me because she just really, really wanted to win. I don't even know what the prize was, maybe a bottle of vodka. Another time when I just remember Mulan being really iconic for me was in my town. They had a millennium parade, so it was right at the start of the millennium, so the year 2000, and it was to commemorate, I don't really know exactly when it was, but it was to commemorate the last millennium, so everyone had to get into costume as a historical character. So there was people there dressed as Romans and knights and Tudors and cavemen, I guess. Can't remember exactly, but everyone was dressed up as some sort of point in history, and then they would arrange all of these school kids in order of time. And so me and my sister, we dressed up in like traditional Chinese dresses, like a cheongsam or qipao. Not really sure if we were wearing it authentically or where we got it from, but I remember we dressed up as that, and then we just said, we're these two characters from Mulan, we're these little girls from Mulan. And then so we were put in place with, I think, some of the knights. I don't know whether the teachers really knew what part of history we were from, because I wouldn't know, but they put us next to some, I guess, medieval knights, and we were just part of the parade in like Chinese dresses. And I don't know, maybe that's just because we already had traditional Chinese dresses at home and it was just easier to wear that rather than buy or make a new costume. But I would love, one day, I would love to actually have like a Mulan costume. Maybe like the robes that she wears that are like pink and blue and purple when she goes to see the matchmaker. I love the matchmaker. Or maybe I should dress up as the matchmaker. I mean, Halloween is coming up and I feel like I would really pull off that costume. You know, when the matchmaker has like lines on her face because she's mistakenly drawn on this mustache beard. I think I would really pull off that costume. Okay, I'm getting ideas now. But yeah, I've always really wanted like a Mulan costume. I just want that Chinese traditional dress. And I've been talking about this with a few people because I have no idea where you would purchase something like that. And if I was to go and purchase something like that, it would be off some dodgy seller on eBay where it's like one size fits all, but you know it's definitely not one size fits all, but they only have one size. So where do people buy these traditional Chinese dresses? I really want to know, especially if you're hoping to wear it for a nice event, you know, like you actually want to wear it for a Chinese wedding ceremony or something. Where do you buy them from? I've seen there's some sellers obviously in Asia and also in like the US, but is there anywhere in the UK? Do people know? Please tell me, because maybe one day when I get married or go to visit the matchmaker, I can wear a traditional Chinese dress. Okay, I feel like I've been rambling on, but I really want to highlight how important Mulan was to me growing up and still is now. I think she was the original, you know, Asian representation that I saw, the only Asian representation that I saw, and she was Chinese like me. I also spoke to some other British Asians who shared their memories with Mulan. So firstly, thank you to Yolanda. She's British born Chinese, and she said, I remember watching Mulan for the first time and feeling empowered because it was my first time seeing a Chinese film, but everyone spoke English. Oh, I totally feel that, because there's a difference between watching a Chinese film in a language that you, in a Chinese language that I can't understand, but actually seeing a Chinese character in a English language movie. It's just a big difference. So Yolanda carries on to say, but on the flip side, I couldn't feel like I could 100% associate with Mulan because white girls in my school would dress up as Mulan, put chopsticks in their hair with the dress and pull their eyes back, so it felt like another thing claimed by them. As I grew older, I did grow to love Mulan and did feel empowered by her, not only because she was Chinese, but also because of everything she stood for. That's amazing, but it's a bit weird that her like white classmates would dress up as Mulan. Mulan doesn't wear chopsticks in her hair. I don't understand why people do that when they're trying to dress oriental or Chinesey. Why do they put chopsticks in their hair? I don't know. There was one point where one of my white girlfriends, she was saying how she loves Mulan too, and I was actually like taken aback a little bit. I was a bit hurt. I was actually a bit, wait. No, you can't love Mulan that much. I'm happy for you to watch it and to enjoy it and to like it and to appreciate it, but you can't love Mulan to that level because Mulan is mine. You can have any of the other princesses to love and idolize, but Mulan is the one that I would claim for myself just because she's Asian. So it's interesting that Yolanda shared this experience. And what do you think? How did you associate with Mulan growing up? Did you feel any kind of way when non-Asian people would talk about Mulan? I have another message. Thank you to Iris. She's Filipino. Iris says, Mulan was a favourite movie for me to watch growing up because I was so in awe of how much she looked like me. I really appreciated how she made me feel comfortable to have thick eyebrows during a time when thin eyebrows were still all the rage. And I'm pretty sure I never got into the pressure of getting into makeup because of her as well. Oh my god, that's so interesting. I've never really thought about that before, to be honest. I never saw Mulan as a, you know, a beauty icon or a beauty standard or, but I mean, she's a Disney princess. Looking at a picture of Mulan now, she does have thick eyebrows. She was ahead of the curve because remember in the 90s, or definitely when I was growing up, having like pencil thin eyebrows, super tidy, straight, basically just a line on your face. But now thick eyebrows are the trend, like thick, bushy, fluffy eyebrows are the trend. Maybe Mulan was ahead of the curve with her eyebrows. And I love that Iris is Filipino while Mulan is a Chinese character, but she's still identified because, quote, how much she looked like me. I love that. I hope that people don't think that all Asians look the same, because we don't, but there are similarities and it is good to have something to, you know, idolize. Although I don't really know if that's my experience. I'm trying to think now if I grew up with any Filipino characters and whether I felt like they were someone, like whether it other way around. The only person I can think of is Vanessa Hudgens, who is part Filipino, I believe. She plays the main character in Disney's High School Musical, so Disney again. I never really saw her as like someone who looks like me or someone I could be like, though. Maybe because I didn't actually know she was Filipino, had any Asian heritage until I was quite a bit older. Who did you look up to? Were there Asian celebrities or characters that you connected with growing up, apart from Mulan? Or yeah, let me know. I'm really, really keen to hear about different characters. And sometimes I don't even realise that the characters are Asian until I Google it. Especially in cartoons and with some actors and actresses, you don't necessarily know. You can't assume just by looking at them sometimes. And before we get into talking about that 2020 Disney live action movie version of Mulan, do you remember when there was actually a Mulan movie, nothing to do with Disney, but still the same legend and character? It was actually a Chinese war movie that came out in 2009. And I remember when this came out, but I've actually never seen it. If you've seen it, let me know if it's worth watching. Obviously, I know it's going to be completely, completely different from the Disney storytelling, but apparently they considered the Chinese actress Yifei Liu, aka Crystal Liu, aka the Chinese actress who is playing Mulan in the 2020 Disney live action. Wait, are we getting confused? Yifei Liu, please don't roast my pronunciation if I'm saying her Chinese name like some sort of ignorant American interviewer. Is that how you say it? Yifei Liu? Anyway, so she's playing Mulan in the Disney live action movie, which is coming out this year. But apparently she was also considered way back for the 2009 Chinese movie of Mulan, which was nothing to do with Disney. Which I think is interesting because that was quite a long time ago. I mean, it's like a 10-year difference, but then they were still considering the same actresses. Maybe she's just really good. She was famous in China before she was cast in Mulan anyway, but I just hadn't heard of her since before then. And there's also a character of Mulan on the Disney / ABC TV show Once Upon a Time, which takes loads and loads of Disney characters, but it's a live action. And in that, Mulan was played by Jamie Chung, who's an American actress. Right, let's talk about the live action, which is what we're actually here to talk about today. So I remember when they first announced it, I just remember it was absolutely mad. As I said, the main character, Mulan, is played by Yifei Liu, and they also cast a whole bunch of actors like Donnie Yen, Gong Li, like Jet Li, like all these iconic Chinese actors and actresses, which is amazing. And they're also are martial artists, so it's going to have, you know, martial arts sequences, but actually be very different from the Disney animated version, which was quite controversial. So Disney announced this movie, and then I remember when they announced the casting for the main character, she wasn't someone that I had heard of before, and I remember I was sitting in the back of a truck, which this sounds dodgy, but it was like public transport or something, some big truck or something, and I was volunteering overseas and I had really bad internet because we weren't somewhere that had really good connection, and I was trying to load it to see who she was, and I was actually a bit butthurt that they didn't cast me. Like, hello, I'm right here. I really saw myself in Mulan, to the point where I actually thought that, you know what, they should just cast me, even though I can't act or do martial arts or sing or whatever else the requirements were, but you know, why not? I think that just shows how much I really saw myself in the character of Mulan. And another Chinese film legend who is in the cast is Tima, who is playing Mulan's dad, very important character. You might know him from Rush Hour or The Farewell. I most recently saw him in an episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I didn't expect to see him there at all. And he's also in Tiger Tail, which came out on Netflix this year. Great movie. Tima is also, he recently appeared on a podcast by Peter Chow. I don't know if anyone remembers Peter Chow, but he used to be, I think he's a Canadian YouTuber who's now an actor, and he used to do like Asian videos. He's one of the first Asian content creators that I heard of when I was growing up, but he now has a podcast called The Peter Chow Show, and Timo appears on the latest episode, so I'm going to be tuning into that probably this weekend. So some other people from the cast who I didn't know: Jason Scott Lee, he's playing Bori Khan, who is a villain in the movie. So in the Disney animated movie, they had the villain who was the Hun leader called Shan Yu, but apparently the character that Jason Scott Lee is playing is not just a replacement of Shan Yu, but it's actually a different character. So this actor, he's raised in Hawaii and is of Hawaiian and Chinese descent. Interesting. There's also going to be a whole other villain who looks completely different to anything that was in the animated movie. It's going to be played by Gong Li, who's apparently really famous, but I don't know her because I don't watch that many Chinese language movies. But she's a villain who's going to be a witch, and in the trailer she does like some cool like shapeshifting magic, so she looks really cool and actually really sexy as well, so I'm looking forward to seeing her character. In the trailer she shapeshifts into a bird, I think, which might be similar to the original Disney movie where the main villain Shan Yu had a massive bird, which is also like the villain in Aladdin, now I'm thinking about it. Anyway, Gong Li looks amazing as Xian Lang in the trailer, and she is 54 years old, and some of the other cast members, Donnie Yen, Jet Li, they're 57 years old, so keep that in mind when you're watching this movie, if you do watch it, because they are looking sexy, they're doing martial arts, they're going to be doing all sorts of really cool stunts and fight scenes, and they're in their 50s. That's just amazing and a great thing to look up to, I think. So the iconic Jet Li is playing the Emperor, which is weird because in my head, Jet Li is nowhere near as old as the Emperor was in the animated movie. And Donnie Yen is playing a new character. He is playing Commander Tung, who's in the army and acts as a mentor to Mulan. They've actually changed so much about the movie from the storyline of the Disney movie. So they don't have Mushu, who's played by Eddie Murphy, the little red dragon, who is Mulan's like right-hand man. And they don't have Li Shang, who is an iconic character and a bit of a bi icon as well. So apparently Li Shang's character is split into two characters. So there's Donnie Yen playing Commander Tung, who is the mentor, the leader in the army. But then in terms of the love interest, it's going to be Chen Honghui, played by, oh god, I really should have checked some of these pronunciations, Yosun An, who is a Macanese New Zealander. And apparently they filmed the movie in New Zealand, so that's super cool. But anyway, yeah, I think they split that character so that it wouldn't be Mulan's boss and commander in the military who would be her love interest. I think in the age of Me Too, it's good to split those characters up so she's not here falling in love with her boss. I feel like that storyline has been played out in plenty of chick flicks, and it's something we need to move away from. And I'm really, really pleased with this cast. I feel like they are all really cool, but actually my standards were pretty low. I'm just happy that they're all Asian, which wasn't the case with the original Disney movie. Like, some of the voice actors were of Chinese descent, but not all of them, like Eddie Murphy in the role of Mushu or Captain Shang, who was played by Donnie Osmond. I literally would not have put it past Disney to cast a non-Asian or non-Chinese descent actor or actress into some of these Chinese character roles. So it was after they announced the live action movie, but before they announced the official casting, there were so many rumours about who they would have playing different characters. And we've seen that Hollywood isn't afraid to cast white actors and actresses into Asian roles, like Emma Stone in the movie Aloha, Scarlett Johansson in Ghost in the Shell, some others, maybe Tilda Swinton, Matt Damon, who plays the hero in The Great Wall, which could have possibly happened here in Mulan. There was actually also a petition which had over 100,000 signatures, I think, at least, because there was a rumour that there was going to be a white love interest for Mulan, maybe similar to Matt Damon's character in The Great Wall, where it's the white character who comes in as the saviour and saves the country. And there's also an unrequired love interest from Mulan. I don't really know how they could have integrated that in, but honestly, I would not have put it past Disney or Hollywood to have done that. But in the end, after the petition, or maybe they never planned it in the first place, but Mulan and her love interest are both cast with actors of Chinese descent, which is great. And sort of the bare minimum we could be asking for, but I gotta say, it could have gone like completely the other way. And as well as some of the characters that they've changed, they've also removed all of the iconic songs from the movie. So the live action is not going to have the same storyline, some of the same characters, and also not the songs, which is interesting because Disney's live actions for Aladdin and Lion King, they had all the original songs, right? And they also added in new songs, which I love, like Beyoncé's song Spirit for Lion King, and the song that Princess Jasmine sings in the live action version of Aladdin. But yeah, they've gone completely the other way. Maybe that will make it less of a cheesy movie and perhaps more of a serious war movie. But I'm still going to be listening to the old songs and also the other versions of them by Christina Aguilera, as well as Leia Salonga's version of Reflection. And then there's also a song sung by Jackie Chan. Did you know this? There's a Cantonese version of Mulan songs, sung by Jackie Chan, which is amazing. And there's a music video as well, so if you haven't seen that, you should. I love it. And some of the cast members of Mulan live action have been in movies before, including Forbidden Kingdom, which a Chinese movie where it's like the sort of Matt Damon situation where they just put in a white lead character for no reason. So in Forbidden Kingdom, although I haven't seen it, I've heard that there's a white lead character who learns Kung Fu and then gets the girl in the end, but he's mentored by the legendary Jet Li, who's in Mulan, and also Jackie Chan. Japan. And apparently this movie used to be called the J&J Project, and that just shows how iconic it was. J&J as in Jet Li and Jackie Chan, and before the movie had a name, that's what it was known by the two most famous actors in it. But then they end up just being mentors to the white savior, who's actually the white guy, who was played by Michael Angarano. I do not know that man. Well, I'm really, really glad that they didn't do that with Mulan, and I can't say I've watched Forbidden Kingdom. From what I've heard, and I don't want to give this movie too much airtime, but apparently the movie was really successful, but not very good. It's a story of the Monkey King, which I don't really know that much about, but it's a Chinese story that they did apparently a really bad retelling of. And the reason I bring it up is because Jet Li and Yifei Liu are in it. So Yifei Liu, who plays Mulan, yeah, they're both in this movie. And some images from the Forbidden Kingdom movie were being spread around as if they were from Mulan. And obviously people were confused, especially if they didn't recognize that it was actually from a whole separate movie. They were confused about, you know, who's this random white character that has popped up out of nowhere. But actually a lot of people were also frustrated that they've taken out Mushu and Li Shang, who are great characters. But, you know, I understand. I'm going to go into the movie with an open mind and expecting it to be quite different when it comes out. And I'm really keen to watch the movie. I can't wait for it, actually. But I know that a lot of people are not keen to watch it. And the main reason I've heard from that is because of the hashtag Boycott Mulan. This hashtag started when the lead star, Yifei Liu, Crystal Liu, she shared a post from a Chinese newspaper, I think. Basically, she expressed on social media some sentiment supporting Hong Kong police at a time when there was a lot of police brutality in the Hong Kong riots, or actually I should say Hong Kong protests. I'm speaking from the UK. There were people who are still planning to boycott the movie because of what she said, because she appeared to be in support of the Hong Kong police and police brutality. And I wasn't sure where she was from, so I looked it up, and she was born in China, and actually I found out she was born in Wuhan, which I had only heard of this year as a place because of the coronavirus outbreak. But yeah, there's a significant controversy there, and I actually felt like a lot of people were planning on boycotting the movie, because when I go on social media, anytime that, you know, Mulan is mentioned or any sort of promotional materials, there are people replying, and okay, I mean, I know it's Twitter, but there are people replying saying hashtag boycott Mulan, how can you support a movie when your lead actress is supporting Hong Kong police brutality, da da da. Oh, I did a poll last month on both Twitter and Instagram, and around 25-30% of you said that you're not going to watch it because of hashtag boycott Mulan, which is actually less than I thought. I think that's just the illusion of social media, where it is the most vocal people who get heard. And you know what? I support that. Solidarity with Hong Kong. I don't fully know the situation there, nor do I feel like I can comment on it. I don't really know enough about what's going on there, but for people who have decided to boycott the movie and support Hong Kong, it's completely understandable, and I fully understand that as well. There was also lots of clickbait articles pretty recently where people were saying that the real Mulan should be Agnes Chow, who is a social activist on the sort of the Hong Kong side of the protests. And she's someone who is she? She's like a politician, social activist who renounced her British nationality. And she started her social activism when she was a teenager. And if you've listened to episode 15, you will know that we're a big fan of young people who fight for change and are change makers and activists. And we're a big fan of them here. Yeah, so there were a lot of articles calling her the real Mulan, particularly after, was it June the 30th, when the national security laws in Hong Kong came into force, which, oh God, I don't want to oversimplify the situation that I don't know that much about, but it basically gives the country of China a lot more power than they had previously over citizens of Hong Kong. And she was convicted this summer for, quote, inciting others to participate in an authorised assembly. I don't know. Basically, I think she was supporting the protests and organising people. So she ended up getting arrested and convicted because of that. And I think she's been compared to Mulan because she is brave, she supports her country, you know, all these qualities of Mulan. She's loyal, brave and true, which is the catchphrase for the qualities of Mulan for the live action. And she's also, you know, she's really pretty and she's a young woman and she's slim. And not that that's the most important qualities, but I mean, those are all traits of Disney princesses. And a lot of articles were, yeah, saying that she's the real Mulan because she, you know, brings honor and she fights for her family and country, just like the story of Mulan. And yeah, I feel like there's a lot of conversations still to have, and I would love to know your thoughts on this because I get so confused sometimes and I don't really know for sure what's going on, because a lot of the conversation is about how Yi Fei-Liu or sort of spoke out literally one time. I think she posted on social media one time and has since been taken down, and I'm sure all the PR people at Disney are telling her, don't talk about it anymore, it's too controversial and it'll affect the success of the movie. But Donnie Yen, so the really famous actor who's playing Commander Tung, he has been still basically to this day, so continually throughout this summer, he has been on social media seeming like he really supports China's and the I don't know, again, I don't want to speak to things that I don't know about accurately, but he was talking about, you know, Hong Kong's handover day, which is when Hong Kong was transferred from the UK to China, the People's Republic of China, which is when Hong Kong ended up being a special administrative region, which I only know from that's what they tell you when you travel there. But it seems like he was, yeah, celebrating Hong Kong being under China, and some people have been talking about him, but nowhere near as much as, I guess he's not the main character. But for me, I understand that people are boycotting it, but I'm still going to be watching the movie. So going back to some of the messages that I collected before this podcast episode, Iris, who is Filipino, she says, personally, however, I won't be watching the live action because of the political controversy that went down with the actress and her statement against Hong Kong protesters. As a Filipino worried about how the Philippines seems to be headed in that direction with China, it's a bit difficult for me to stay objective. No qualms about others who are looking forward to watching it, however, I know it's still an important step in terms of Asian representation. And I really thank Iris for her honesty here, because yes, there is a similar situation in terms of voices speaking up against the government being oppressed in the Philippines, and it's a very sensitive topic. Again, don't want to get into something that I don't feel comfortable talking about, but it's something to be aware of, and I respect Iris's decision to not watch the live action movie because of the lead actress's statements. And Yolanda, who again is British born Chinese, she says, as for the live action, I love that the cast is all Asian, and contrary to what others believe, I was actually excited to see the film being culturally representative. As much as I love Mushu and Li Shang, etc., I'm happy to see that there is going to be some sort of cultural representation of Chinese culture through Mulan. But at the same time, seeing how the people behind the movie are predominantly white is a bit off-putting. Of course, non-Chinese people can do thorough and accurate research on Chinese culture, but I still feel like there is some gap. There seems to be a lack of diversity behind the screen, despite there being some on-screen, etc. So I spoke earlier about how it was really good that they casted an all Chinese cast for this movie, which is good because, again, bare minimum, but it really could have gone the other way, knowing how Hollywood is. But there is definitely a problem behind the camera. So the screenwriter Amanda Silva, she's the costume designer, a lot of these people, they are not of Asian descent. I think they're all white, and it's all very well having sort of Asian representation in front of the camera, but what about all the Asians who work in roles behind the camera, including important decision-making roles like, you know, the director? So something that they've really promoted with Mulan is how historically accurate it is. So some of the changes that they've made are like Mulan's outfits and the kind of homes that they have, and the way that she does her makeup is just apparently a historical Chinese style. I've also heard that that is actually incorrect, and they've picked different parts of history to pull, like completely different centuries to pull elements from, so it isn't actually historically accurate. But can't speak too much about that without actual knowledge. But what is a bit weird to me is that the costume designer, for example, she's not Asian, she's not Chinese, and probably did do, she said that she did do loads of work to research. But then I'm sure that there's also loads of consultants of Chinese heritage that they could have brought on as a lead costume designer that would also have all of that knowledge and maybe have a better understanding of the culture as well. And I absolutely don't want to be a gatekeeper in terms of cultural sharing, and learning about other cultures is so important. But this is Disney we're talking about. Like, I'm sure that they could have found Asian American, Chinese American people in the industry to work behind the camera and be in roles like costume designer or, you know, actually hire people from China as well. This is Disney we're talking about. There's plenty of people who wouldn't turn down that sort of opportunity. Plus they have money. They have way loads of money. And a big part of Mulan is how she fights with honor and brings honor to us all. She brings honor to her family and her country. And then another big part of the movie is the filial piety. So she goes to war instead of her father, dishonoring him, but also doing it for him. And the Mulan screenwriter, Amanda Silver, she says that the film has themes that are specifically Chinese, like filial piety. And this sort of reinforces the stereotype, but her quote is, "The idea that the Western hero is always out for themselves and the Eastern hero is more for the family and the group. That's where the reward comes from." I don't really get that. I feel like having Asian characters fighting for honour or fighting for filial piety, yes, these are all good qualities, but it's kind of done, though. I feel like after Mulan, we'll allow Mulan, but I don't really need to see any more Chinese characters fighting for honour or to respect their elders. I feel like that's a stereotype. Or is it real? I don't know enough about Chinese culture, even though I'm a Chinese person. I bring this up not to criticise the movie too much, but because I'm still between 99% to 100% on board with this movie, but I don't think we can go in championing Asian representation without actually being critical and asking for more, asking for better, because this is just baby steps towards Asian representation in Hollywood. And it's a problem because, wait, I have a stat here. So a 2019 study published by the University of California, they said that the percentage of writers of color credited in top films failed to increase from 2011 to 2017. And so it might seem that we're moving forwards, but we're kind of not. And it says that the percentage of writers of color credited on top films was remaining under 8%. 8%, that's so low. And that's all people of color is incorporated into that. In terms of Asian or East Asian, or even more specifically Chinese writers credited on top films, I mean, it's probably 0.01% or something ridiculous, like less than 0.5%. And that's not the case that there's not people from ethnic minority backgrounds who want these roles or are skilled for these roles, but there's clearly some sort of gatekeeping in Hollywood that stops people from ethnic minority backgrounds being able to succeed. But they're still adamant that they want to tell the Asian and Chinese historical story. And I don't know, I feel a bit weird about that because honestly, I love that there's going to be this all-Asian Hollywood movie again, following in the footsteps of Crazy Rich Asians and Joy Luck Club. But again, we can ask people to be better. And that also comes up in terms of the music. So way back in March when the movie was supposed to come out, they released a Christina Aguilera theme song. So it's a brand new song, it's called Loyal Brave True, and there's also a Spanish version. And this is kind of nice to me because Christina Aguilera sang Reflection and that sort of started her career back in the 90s, and then they brought her back to sing a new theme song. And it came out in March, but I didn't really hear anyone talking about it. I don't think it really made big waves, but it means a lot to me that they got her back to do it. And the music video for that song came out last month, finally. Months after the song came out. I don't know whether you've seen it, but okay, so I think it's Christina Aguilera with, you know, her bright blonde hair, and she's in this dark room, and then they have like CGI computer generated images of big red dragons and smoke and things going around her while she's belting out this absolute Christina Aguilera style song, you know, like really high power vocals. And I don't know how I feel about this, but in the music video it seems like she's kind of going for this stereotypical oriental look, maybe a Chinese look, maybe a Japanese look, because her blonde hair is scraped back into this really tight hair bun, and she's wearing red, she has like cat eye winged eyeliner. I don't know how I feel about this. Is this yellow face, like, is she styled to try to look Asian-esque? Because she also has done a couple of live performances of Loyal Brave True now, and one from back in March when she performed on a TV show in America, she wore this like silky outfit with big long sleeves, which really gave me like kimono vibes, which is not, I mean, for all I know, it could be like inspired by historical Chinese dress, but I don't know, maybe I am missing something here. And maybe she is being respectful when it's cultural appreciation rather than cultural appropriation. But yeah, in that live outfit, she was giving me Japanese vibes. And I haven't really seen that many people talking about this, but I'm sure other people are. I can't be the only person in the world who clocked this and cares about it, but it did give me a vibe that she was trying to look a bit Asian in her music video and in one of the performances. And that's a bit annoying because they really could have, like, as much as I love Christina Aguilera and I get the whole sentimental thing of her coming back after 20 years to sing the new theme song, but there are also plenty of East Asian and specifically Asian American or Chinese American artists, like so much talent that they could have used. Maybe not a high profile, long standing pop princess name like Christina Aguilera, but Disney is big enough. Disney is the platform to make stars. You know, you don't have to be a star to be on Disney. They have the platform to make someone an A-list, if that makes sense. But yes, she also recently, just this week, I think, released a rendition of Reflection, which she performed on Good Morning America, which was mad. She was really going for it. And my sister said the new rendition of Reflection by Christina Aguilera made her cry. And there's also a version, there's a Mandarin version by Yifei Liu and by Coco Lee. And I've made a playlist of all these different official Disney versions of Reflection. And I also found that there's Spanish versions from the original animated movie. I mean, how many versions of Reflection do we need? I'm not hating, I can always have more. But anyway, back to the Christina Aguilera 2020 rendition. I mean, I will listen to it. Maybe her voice has matured and got better or changed. I'm not dodging because obviously I could never sing like that, but I'm just wondering whether we really need another rendition. But yeah, it has been a long time, so maybe her voice has changed and it is quite a different version. And she tweeted the other week, Christina Aguilera tweeted, "Happy 21st anniversary to my debut self-titled album. So crazy, 21 years ago I scored Reflection and my record deal in the same week. Fast forward to today, the 21st anniversary is falling on the same week as my new rendition of Reflection is dropping. The stars are aligning." I think that's kind of nice. So she has Reflection, she has Loyal, Brave and True in English and Spanish, and there's also going to be a Korean cover of Reflection, not sung by Christina Aguilera. It's going to be by Lee Soo Hyun from AKMU, which I'm assuming is a band. So I'll definitely be checking that out. I did just make this massive long playlist with all the Disney animated movie Mulan songs and the soundtracks. And also, I've got to include the Jackie Chan version of I'll Make a Man Out of You from the original Mulan. He did that in Cantonese and Mandarin, so there's two versions there. But yeah, I'm still a fan of all this music, but I do think that we can always hold Hollywood accountable and hold them accountable to a higher standard to be better. And what I would really like to see, maybe from a future Asian cast Hollywood movie, is like they did with Black Panther. Oh my gosh, rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman, who plays Black Panther in the Marvel movies. No one would have expected that, right? His Twitter announcement after his death, sort of announcing his passing, is the most liked tweet ever on Twitter, which is nuts. It's got nearly 500,000 likes now. Anyway, so my point was, in Black Panther, in the movie, the director was or is black, and also pretty much I think all of the artists that were on the soundtrack were black as well, which I love, and I would really, really like to see that from a future East Asian cast movie or Southeast Asian cast movie, because the talent is out there, and I think that's a great way to increase their platform as well. So actually give them a platform to have a big hit song on a big movie soundtrack. And maybe it's something that they'll do for Shang-Chi, who is going to be the first Asian Marvel superhero in the, is that right? There's a movie coming out and they cast Shang-Chi, who's a Marvel character, cast Simu Liu, what ethnic background is he? I think he might be Korean-Canadian. No, his character in Kim's Convenience is Korean-Canadian, but he is Chinese-Canadian. So he's been cast in the new Marvel movie, which is coming out in next year, I think. Although I assume they're going to push that back if they haven't been able to film stuff this year with COVID. So I would love to see, for that Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, that they actually have at least some Chinese descent singers and bands on their soundtrack. Again, I am still on board with this whole movie, including the soundtrack, including some of the potentially incorrect historical dress and scenery. But yes, we can hold Hollywood to a higher standard and expect better, because they really can do better in terms of Asian representation. And the next thing I want to talk about is how the movie's being released, actually. So it was originally, again, back in March, and I keep saying this because I literally planned my New Year's resolutions, like quarterly check-in for around the Mulan date, because that was coming out, you know, after the first quarter of the calendar year. In my head, I was like, okay, I'm going to achieve all the things I want to achieve by the end of March, and I'm going to reward myself by going to see Mulan. But then obviously we ended up in lockdown, the movie was delayed. I mean, I'm going to use that as an excuse for why I still haven't achieved the things that I wanted to achieve by March. But anyway, a lot of movies were delayed, a lot of big ones, including the new James Bond movie. I remember when that got pushed back to November, and that at the time seemed ridiculous to push a movie back for that long, especially after they had started doing all the promo for it. And Mulan was delayed from the end of March to the summer, and then they pushed it back, and we were thinking it might come out in August, and then they announced it's going to come out in September. Actually, you know what, maybe this is a blessing, because Marvel's Black Widow, played by Scarlett Johansson, everyone's favourite Asian, that movie was pushed back when originally it was supposed to be out during Asian American and Pacific Islanders Heritage Month. So the month that the US celebrate Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders. If you don't know why Scarlett Johansson is the butt of the joke, it's because she was completely unapologetic about how she played a East Asian character in Ghost in the Shell. She was completely unapologetic about that. And yeah, she really doesn't care or recognise why it's damaging for East Asians in the industry, for representation and movie watchers. But I don't want to get further into talking about Yellowface today. But maybe it was kind of a good thing that Marvel's Black Widow wasn't released during that month meant to commemorate Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. So Mulan got delayed. The release date is the 4th of September, and it's not going to cinemas as far as I know. It's going to be on Disney Plus, which is Disney's streaming service. I sound like I'm sponsored by them, but I'm not. If you do know any cinemas playing Mulan in the UK, please let me know, because cinemas are open now in the UK, and I can imagine that the odd UK cinema will show it on the big screen, particularly in London. So, you know, in Leicester Square, where there's all the big cinemas, and Chinatown is also there. I can imagine at least one of those cinemas will just put on Mulan once, and I would love to see it on the big screen like it was designed. But yeah, it's not going to be in cinemas. It's going to be on Disney Plus, which, like Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu, is a subscription service. A big thing that a lot of people have been talking about is whether this is worth the money or not. So there's a subscription fee, which is like 6-7 quid a month, but to watch Mulan you need to pay an extra $30 US, or in the UK it's £20, on top of that to watch this Mulan movie as a special premiere screening. And it might seem a bit money grabbing, but actually it's less than I thought it was. So after they announced it would be $30 US, I actually wouldn't have been surprised if Disney just said, okay, it's also going to be £30 for UK viewers. But they did say it was going to be 20 quid, and I guess that's kind of the cost of a family visit to the cinema, right? Like, that's the cost of going on a cinema date in London. So I guess it's not too expensive, but a lot of people, I can understand why the cost would really put them off, because especially if you're already paying the subscription service, we didn't have to pay more to watch Beyonce's movie visual album on Disney. We didn't have to pay more to watch Hamilton on Disney, but Mulan, I guess they want to recoup some of that money. At the end of the day, Disney is, you know, it's a huge money-driven corporation, one of the largest corporations in the world. So I wouldn't really expect anything less from them. But how do you feel about the cost of it? Are you going to pay £20 to watch it? I'm sure that people have spent like $30 US or £20 UK to watch sports. Like, you know, when you can watch a boxing fight or something as a pay-per-view. So spending £20 to watch a movie, one that I'm really looking forward to, but to watch a movie that is not just a one-off event, that you can keep watching it. You'll always have the movie as long as you keep paying your monthly Disney Plus subscription, which I don't think I will do. I think I'll just get it just to watch Mulan. And to add, Disney recently announced that the movie is going to be available to watch for all Disney Plus subscribers, so without paying the $30 or £20 premiere screening fee. But it's going to be available in December. So for people who can wait, I mean, it's only a couple of months you have to wait, then you don't have to pay that 20 quid. I don't really know why they decided to do it like that. Will you be watching it now or watching it in December or never watching it? What do you reckon?
Yeah, it doesn't seem that crazy to me. And like, we know from Netflix that people share accounts, like you can have 10 people watching from one account. So if anyone wants to share the cost of Mulan with me, drop me a message, because who knows what's going to happen before the end of the year. And if I can save a couple of quid by splitting it with someone, I really don't think Disney will care. But it's a bit of a weird decision. I think it's the first and only movie that has decided to have this sort of watch at home subscription thing. I guess Amazon Prime, you can buy or rent movies from there for a fee. But it's a bit of a kick in the face for cinemas in countries where they have opened, like in the UK. I guess they were thinking, maybe they're thinking if it's available online in the US or countries where cinemas are not opened, it's going to be leaked like straight away, like even quicker than when things are released in the cinemas. And it's going to be leaked to watch online on illegal websites for free. So maybe they were thinking that people in countries where cinemas are open wouldn't end up watching it in the cinemas because they would just find a way to watch it online. I did see this video of a cinema worker, a French cinema owner, who was hitting a Mulan poster. Well, not a poster, but one of those massive stand-up, you know, standalone promotional things for the Mulan movie. He was just like whacking it with a baseball bat. It was really drastic. But I think he was just so frustrated after Disney announced that Mulan would be going straight to Disney Plus, because he said he has been promoting Mulan 4 months and that he and his fellow operators had hoped the film would be a key title to boost their reopening efforts. And that actually makes sense, because I've seen that a lot of cinemas that have reopened in the UK are just playing like really old movies like Harry Potter, like movies that you can watch for free on TV. And I guess they just need stuff to, that they can play to justify them reopening. But I don't know who would be going to the cinemas unless they're going to create some sort of government endorsed special offer to save money. I think we're all pretty used to watching TV at home now and movies. Although maybe that is a reason why people would want to go to the cinema. Okay. We do have another movie coming out next year. So there's Shang-Chi, which is planned for next year, which is a Marvel movie, but also Raya and the Last Dragon, which is going to be an animated movie from Disney, which is a Southeast Asian story. And they recently announced that Kelly Marie Tran, who you might know from Star Wars, has been cast as the voice actor, is that the right word, for the main character. And Awkwafina's also in that. Awkwafina's also in Shang-Chi. She's just getting in all the franchises. So I'm really looking forward to that as well, and I will be keeping a close eye on all the news that they have about that. When they announced Kelly Marie Tran as the main character, I was quite surprised, because originally they had cast Cassie Still, who you might know from Degrassi, and they had also released, I think, some clips of Cassie. So I really don't know why they recast it, because they had a big announcement. They had this whole thing like with Awkwafina and Cassie Still doing photo ops, you know, in person. This was last year. And now this year they've just announced that they've replaced the actress. But they were both of Southeast Asian descent. I don't have problems with either of them. I'm just curious to know why they decided to recast at quite a late stage when they had already clearly recorded some of the scenes. But I guess with COVID-19, that all sorts of unexpected things can happen, and it could have just been something as boring as a scheduling problem. But yeah, that's going to be a new movie coming out next year that we should definitely be keeping an eye on. I'm definitely going to be keeping up with all the news from it, because it is a Southeast Asian story, animated, and it's a Disney movie, so it'll probably be cheesy. And apparently it takes inspiration from a whole bunch of Southeast Asian countries and cultures. I'm just a big fan of supporting Asian representation, and I hope you will join me with that even if you aren't going to be watching Mulan. I'm just rambling now, but my final point of Mulan is that I'm super, super stoked for it. It is the Asian representation that I love. I've been looking forward to it since, you know, the very first time that they announced that they were going to be making a live action, and I can't believe it's nearly here. I'm usually not very critical of movies that I watch, so I always find things that I can enjoy out of it, and I think it's going to be like a fun action movie, probably a very empowering female warrior story. I think for me, I need to remember that this is an American movie. It's a this American and Western retelling of a Chinese legend, and it might show a Chinese storyline and elements of Chinese history, but it is not a Chinese movie, it's an American movie. So I think that's something for me to keep in mind, just so that I remember that this isn't necessarily what any Chinese people would have created in terms of a movie. But it is something that is important to me, not least because I grew up with it, but also because of the Chinese heroine. And I hope that you have enjoyed this episode at least somewhat with me rambling on about Mulan. We've really covered everything from the original animated movie, what I grew up with Mulan, the live action castings and the storyline that we know so far, and the controversy as well with some of the cast members. I'm really hoping this movie will be great. Thank you so much for listening to me ramble on about Mulan for like an hour. I will be on social media after I watch the movie as well. I would love to know your thoughts on it if you watch it, because I love discussing these things. And let me know if you want to share a Disney Plus account as well. I better round this off now. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe to the podcast, please subscribe, and also leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. If you want to search that up, you can leave a review there. It just has to be one word review. Just say it's brilliant or something else positive. Find us on social media at YellowBeePod on Instagram and Twitter, and thank you so much for your continual support for this podcast, a massive passion project for me. It really comes down to Asian representation. I really look forward to bringing you more East and Southeast Asian diaspora stories, and I will have a guest for the next episode, I promise this time. And thank you so much. Going now. Thanks. Bye. It's been your girl Natalie. Thank you for listening to Yellow Bee Pod.